is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Brexit is often perceived as a UK-only event. It's far wider than that. I think the UK will most likely vote to remain within the European Union.
Roughly 40 polls out of 200 saying the UK could leave. So it's definitely a risk that the market has had to price in.
If you look at the spread between the federal funds rate and the 10-year, it has flattened enormously, even if the federal funds rate were to increase.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning. It's 7 a.m. on Wall Street. It is 1 p.m. in France, where you'd better not be out of gas. Strike there, surprise. And 20% of gas station tanks are apparently empty. No worries. We're fully powered up here on Surveillance. Today, a deep dive into politics and monetary policy. The dollar beginning to move as futures traders price in a July rate increase for the first time, but if equity traders are worried, they're not showing it, nor does there appear to be Brexit concerns today. In Europe, the Stock 600 is up 4 points, 1.2%. The DAX in Germany, 91 points higher, 0.9%. France may be out of gas, but the CAC 40 is the best performing index in the continent right now, 1.4% higher on the day. In London, Bank of England Governor Mark Carney testifying today on Brexit says he's not taking sides, but it's his obligation to assess the risks of a Brexit vote. The FTSE, not worried, 49 points higher right now, 0.8%. And the pound on the day, 146.05, up by 0.8%. In the U.S., the dollar index beginning to move, 95.386, up by 0.2% this morning, but no impact on equities. Right now, futures, S&P futures up by 7 points, 0.3%, Dow futures up 49, that's a 0.3% gain, and it's a 0.4% gain for NASDAQ 100 E-mini futures. They're up 16 points right now. By the way, the yen, 109.63. Earlier today, Finance Minister Taro Aso suggested a 5-yen move over 2 days might be the trigger for intervention. Keep an eye on that. Bond yields here ratcheting higher. The 2-year note yield up to 91 basis points. The 5-year, 138. And the 10-year, 184. Richard Haass is president of the Council on Foreign Relations. We always ask you when you come by about this bad news or that bad news. So I'm going to rip up the script here and point to the markets and say, you know, there's a lot going on in the world. A presidential election, a Brexit vote, everything that's happening in the Middle East, etc. And yet the world seems to feel a little bit better than it did, say, in January. I'm wondering if you've noticed anything changed out there or a feeling that we'll muddle through somehow or something.
I think it's a muddle through sense. So much of the bad news has become the new normal that I don't think the markets get shaken by it. You assume the Middle East is chaotic. You assume that there's tensions in Asia or tensions in Europe and there's impeachment in Brazil and whatever. And I think the markets essentially have internalized all that.
So at this point, where do we go from here, do you think? Does the mood darken in the country as the election campaign gets underway and everybody says it's going to be terrible? Or it's summertime. Do we start to feel better?
No, we've got 5.5 months of what's going to be a brutal slog of an election. And you've got two candidates already whose unfavorables are through the roof, and each one is determined to raise the unfavorables of the other, and they may well succeed at that. So I think we've got to assume that, and the rest of the world is going to watch this. And part of the coin of the realm of being a great power is the sense that you give some comfort to others and they admire what they see there, and there's a sense of reliability and predictability. And I think we're about to work our way through that in a rather unfavorable way.
Tom's looking so forward to that.
It's going to be exceptional. Let's dive into this with Richard Haass of CFR. Good morning, everyone. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Invesco. Invesco believes it's time to say goodbye to the traditional 60-40 stock bond allocation. Say hello to alternatives as a core part of modern portfolios. Learn more at Invesco.com/alts. I guess the modern portfolio at Richard Haass of politics is negative ratings and all that. My foggy memory says 1802. Maybe it was 1800. There were a few other bitter elections in this nation's history. But certainly in the modern era, this is absolutely original, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know any observer who is not surprised by what he or she has seen this year and within both parties. No one no one could or would have predicted or was able to predict in both parties that we'd be where we are, that Hillary Clinton still hasn't shown up the Democratic nomination, and the most powerful political movement in the party is this anti-globalization movement led by Senator Sanders. The Republican Party, very few people predicted that Donald Trump would beat out the other 16 or so candidates with the kind of economic nationalist platform that he has. So, here we are, but no one could have predicted, and which also makes it awfully hard to know where we're going to be in 5 or 6 months.
But the heart and soul, the heritage of the Council on Foreign Relations is a smart, informed debate that then moves to the middle into a constructive compromise. Somehow, that's not where I think we're heading. I don't mean November, but I mean January of next year.
That's the more
July of next year.
Right. That's the more serious issue, which, thank God one day this campaign will be over.
Exactly.
But then it's not exactly happy days here again. There's nothing that's being said or done in this campaign that paves the way for governing, for compromise, for better relations either within the parties, between the Congress and the White House. And, I look at the inbox. I look at what's going to await the 45th president of the United States, and I look at this raft of international problems, from what to do about China and Asia to North Korea, which could be a real crisis. We just saw the Afghanistan situation isn't getting any better. You've got the Middle East, which continues to churn. We could go on and on and on. And then you see domestically the fact that we're not growing at levels that we should be. There's 2/3 of the American people are unhappy with the status quo and in principle want change but can't agree on what it is. I look at that inbox, and it's got to give you pause.
I mean, within the pause, and to go back to the CFR's mandate, Churchill's Iron Curtain speech, which all of us were confronted with, is being something almost ecumenical. Churchill, for with primacy and power is also awe-inspiring accountability to the future. Where is our – I mean, I understand in the heat of a campaign there's no accountability. The sole goal is to get elected. What is your best foreign policy the fourth Wednesday of November?
Well, what I want to see is a foreign policy that – to use a legal concept, a stare decisis, that we don't change more than we should or need to. We've got to understand that a lot of the world is based upon assessments of American reliability, of continuity. And, so that to me would say, the bias ought to be towards continuity. I think we ought to be very careful about getting more involved in the Middle East, though. I think we ought to have learned that transforming the Middle East is a fool's errand. We've got to do more in Asia to keep that part of the world as stable and as prosperous as it's been. We've got to find a way to do a little bit more in Europe. One of the first tests, Tom, of the new president could be the trade agreement, which is a central
part. The Pacific Agreement.
The TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a central part of the quote-unquote pivot to Asia. And for many people around the world, is going to become something of a test case for American reliability. And what's so interesting is whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, both have campaigned against TPP, which I think opens up an interesting conversation after election. You can't renegotiate it. The question then is, can the next president and Congress work out some kind of a side arrangement which would allow the United States then to sign on to TPP? And that could be one of the most interesting tests of the first few months of 2017.
We could go into the weeds, and I could ask you about, it could just sit there like salt, too. But what is the world – you talk about reliability. What does the world want from the next U.S. president?
What the world wants is more continuity than change. The world has gotten used to the fact that the United States is the most important country out there. Many of our allies, from Japan to Korea to those in Europe, they essentially are betting their futures that the United States is there for them. Even our foes or countries that are kind of not allies or friends, the Chinese, the Russians, and others, want a degree of American predictability simply so they can gauge what they're going to do. So I think the bias of the world is towards a more familiar United States, what's so interesting to a lot of the world. And I bet it's the dominant conversation at the G7. It's not the official conversation. The dominant conversation during every break is going to be to the President of the United States. What the hell is going on in your country? How should we read it? How should we interpret it?
It's the dominant conversation in this country. But there is a frustration, and to the extent the presidential candidates have tapped into it, that the world says we don't like the U.S. and its foreign policy and what they do and all that. And yet, whenever anything happens, the U.S. has to take care of it.
Well, absolutely. And that's why, you know, we don't much like what you're doing. But whenever there's a crisis, the dollar goes up because it's still the safest game in town. Look, the alternative to a U.S.-led world is not a somebody-else-led world. It's to a world that doesn't have leadership. No. And the glimpse of what that looks like is the Middle East. That's a world that's essentially out there on its own, and it's not a pretty picture.
Let's come back with Richard Haass of the Council on Foreign Relations. Green on the screen, futures up 8, Dow futures up 54. Yields are higher this morning, the 10-year 0.91%, excuse me, the 2-year 0.91% with curve flattening this morning.
This hour of surveillance brought to you by Mount Kisco Volvo. Visit MountKiscoVolvo.com. Here's Michael Barr with news headlines.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. There is more information that an Egypt Air flight that crashed last week could have been brought down by an explosion. A senior Egyptian forensic official who is part of the Egyptian investigative team says the indications are based on examination of recovered body parts. The official who asked not to be identified says all 80 pieces brought to Cairo so far are small and that, quote, there isn't even a whole body part like an arm or a head. The Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo with 66 people on board when it crashed into the Mediterranean last week. President Obama has spent his second full day in Vietnam meeting with activists, including a pastor, and advocates for the disabled. After the meeting, the president, during a speech in Hanoi, says the country should allow greater freedoms for its citizens. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
And Michael, thanks so much. Gold down $10, $12.41 the ounce, $12.42 the ounce, rather. That bears watching with oil weaker fractionally. With Richard Haass of the Council on Foreign Relations, this is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch's Global Cash Management Solutions, helping you manage, protect, and invest your global cash wherever the road to growth leads. That's the power of global connections. Bank of America, North America. Member FDIC.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hey, good morning. I'm John Tucker. We have futures ahead of the market open on Wall Street. They are higher off the best levels of the session. S&P futures right now 6 points higher. It's up 0.3%. The Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 15. Seeing some weakness in the euro dollar strength today. Euro 111.83. The yen 109.62. That's down about 0.4%. Sterling 146.12. The 2-year note in the U.S., the yield 0.9053. The 10-year yield right now 184. NYMEX crude is lower. That's down 12 cents at 47.96. Brent crude is down 24 cents a barrel at 48.11. And this data check being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. And you're listening to Bloomberg Surveillance.
The Brexit vote. Coverage continues now on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, with questions about the British vote on membership in the European Union, because it does seem to be the major risk event of the next month for the globe. But, you know, just putting it in the context of the U.S. and what Fed officials are saying about it, they were worried. Now they seem to be downplaying it as a threat. How much of a threat to the global order is it if Britain were to leave the EU?
It would just be piling on one more thing. And you saw what the Treasury came out with over the last 48 hours in Britain, essentially talking about the consequences there to their economy. I think the threats to the global economy would be more psychological and political than actual, given the scale of the British economy. The biggest effect would be on the British economy.
Right. But that's where I want to go with it is, not just economically, but politically and, in a sense of global order, would it make a significant difference?
It would be another sign that traditionalism is losing ground, that populism is gaining. We had a close call in the Austrian elections the other day. You see what's happening here in both parties. If the British vote goes in favor of Brexit, that will be another sign that you simply – there aren't any givens anymore. And I think that's what will unnerve people more than any of the details or the specifics.
In April, Mr. Trump made a bit of a splash saying NATO is obsolete. Richard Haass this morning said the idea that we need to re-NATOize or advance NATO's mandate. That seems to be opposing Mr. Trump. What would you explain to Mr. Trump as the importance of NATO and the importance of keeping Britain part of the EU system?
Well, in terms of NATO, you still have elements of a Russian threat. NATO, after the end of the Cold War, was there not simply as a hedge against Russia, but also to help democratize and stabilize the newly independent countries that had been under the Soviet Union. We took most of our troops out. We're now reintroducing some after the Ukraine crisis. I would think the return on investment, to use a financial idea, is very good. Most of the local costs are offset by local countries, by host nation support. But we benefit from stability in Europe. It's easy to take Europe for granted, but it's still, a quarter of the world's economy. And we want there to be stability there. We're seeing signs of populism, and we don't want to see that get out of hand. And I'd say in some ways the same argument for Asia. The United States depends upon a global economy. We depend upon stability in large parts of the world, and stability simply can't be assured without a continuing American role. My argument is simply that the costs of doing this are relatively modest. We're spending, 3.5% of our GDP on defense. By Cold War standards, that's roughly half. So we can more than afford this and still thrive at home. What's holding us back at home, Tom, is not what we're spending on national security. It's what we're not doing domestically. So even if we do less foreign policy, mm-hmm. we might make the world a messier place. It doesn't mean we make the United States a better place.
Talking with Richard Haass of the Council on Foreign Relations here on Bloomberg Surveillance, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. You were just talking about the importance of Britain to NATO and the importance of Britain to the global order. Is Britain important to Europe? Does Europe need Britain as part of it?
I would make the argument, I don't know if the words need, but it's certainly better off with it. It's one of the principal countries of Europe. I'm worried that without Britain, then you have Germany. In some ways, without a constellation of countries that are there of comparable scale, you're really only leaving France. And France, as we've seen historically, on its own, can't manage in some ways Germany. I don't want to make Europe interesting again. Europe was all too interesting in the 20th century. We want Europe to be boring and stable. And the great accomplishment of the post-World War II era was in many ways what began as the coal and steel community, became the European community, now is the European Union. And it has made war unthinkable. It has made instability on a large scale unthinkable in Europe. It's also the foundation of a great economic success. I don't want to see anyone begin to unravel.
Beautifully explained, Ambassador. But the reality is all of England is looking for some statement, gesture, from the considered nations of the continent, or from Brussels in particular. Do you see any indication that the EU really wants to sway the vote within the United Kingdom?
Well, they're not going to do things. They're not going to buy Britain's vote. And if that's what it's going to take, and the Cameron renegotiation was more an image thing than a substantive thing. So sure, the Europeans want Britain in. I mean, Europe has enough on its plate without Brexit, thank you very much. If you know, we've talked about Greece before, you have the refugee crisis, you have the Ukraine crisis, you have low growth. The last thing Europe needs is a Brexit crisis on top of everything else. The real question, I think, is for the British people, which is whether the populism of the day will manifest itself. This is the vehicle to express it, or whether what you might call traditional British conservatism will traditionalism will carry the day.
But very quickly here, you mentioned that the exogenous event, just getting to the end of June, the outside populist event could be the wild card.
Both in Britain and in here. If there were a major crisis involving refugees or involving terrorism, that could actually sway the British vote in favor of Brexit, just like if there were a, God forbid, a terrorist event here of one sort or another, it could have real implications for American politics.
Thank you so much for your time. Where do you travel next?
China. Go there in a couple of weeks.
Very good. Yeah. And Richard Haass with the Council.
Definitely have you back on that.
With the Council on Foreign Relations. Look to Foreign Affairs Magazine. Can't say enough about it. Just Very, very smart. Also big type, which helps fossils like me. It's Bloomberg Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Jaguar of Morris County. Introducing the all-new Jaguar F-Pace, the first ever SUV from Jaguar. Visit Jaguar Morris County or call 855-638-2404 for special lease and financing offers.